Turn your Bible to the book of Jude. And we're going to read from the book of Jude, verse 1 through 4. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he wrote for them to be contenders of the faith, to fight for it, to strive for it, to wrestle over its success. Because there were some men trying to switch it around, trying to turn grace into lasciviousness. And I want to preach tonight this thought. I'd rather fight than switch. Tell your neighbor, I'd rather fight than switch. Put your Bibles down and clap your hands and praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Come on, praise him out loud. Oh, yes, hallelujah. The wonderful name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus. God, thank you for your word. We need to hear from you. Send us a word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds and our spirits and cause us to come to a place of decision. To where we've made up in our minds, we will defend this gospel. In Jesus' name. And one minute, you may be seated. I'd rather fight than switch. Tell your neighbor, I'm here to stay. There are a lot of voices in our world. A lot of voices saying a lot of things. And today we hear the voice of the world saying that everything is relative. It just depends on what you want. It's all relative to what you desire. Everything is relative. And what they mean by this, that whatever works for themselves is fine. Haven't you heard that before? You do what's good for you, I'll do what's good for me. That's kind of the mantra of our day. And what they're saying today is there are no guidelines. There are no measures of right and wrong. There are no truths to be lived by. Everything is relative to the person. Can you say amen? What they say is today's customs, today's measures, today's means are all okay. So the world would have us to believe. And the refrain is that everyone is doing it, so it must be okay. Why do we have to be the only ones to be different? Why can't we do it? If everybody's doing it, how can everybody else be wrong? Everything is relative. And it's much like it was in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17 and Judges chapter 21. The Bible said everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Can you say amen? And for a large part, much of the church world has come to think this way. Doctrines and teaching of the Bible, the teaching of the Word, is no longer looked upon as necessary, so long as you, quote unquote, believe. You don't necessarily have to obey the Bible, long as you believe. You don't have to live according to any particular guidelines or principles, so long as you believe. You can put a fish on your bumper sticker on your car and be called a Christian. Can you say amen? But you would be surprised to know that the Bible has a completely different point of view. Proverbs 14:12 said, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Tell your neighbor, it seems right. And here's the powerful thing about the human mind. We talked about this a little bit this morning, that if you refuse to love the truth, God will step back and let you believe a lie. And just because you feel so strong about it doesn't make it right in the sight of God. Can you say amen? But I feel so strong about this. It must be God, because I wouldn't be feeling it if it wasn't God. God made you to be a free-willed creature. You've got your right to your emotions. And the reason why God allows the human spirit to conflict with the Word of God is because God wants you to have the power to choose His will over your desires. There will always be things in our past willing to dictate or willing to detour us from the road or the path that God has us on. There will always be that proverbial tree in the midst of the garden. There will always be that tree that looks pleasant to the eyes. There will always be that tree that is good for food. There will always be that tree to be desired to make one wise. There will always be those temptations in your life. But no matter how good it looks or how good it feels, God still said, don't eat that fruit. And just because you like it, just because you want it, just because everybody else is doing it, just because it seems right to you, the Bible said there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me tell you something that I have learned in the last 20 so years of living for God in my life, 26 years to be exact. I have learned I might feel things. And every time I have given in to my feelings, I have failed God miserably. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time I've surrendered to what I feel and what I desire, I have failed God miserably. But let me tell you what I've learned. I've learned that I can feel something so strong, but God is still right. I can feel like doing something a certain way, but God is still right. And no matter how much I fight and wrestle and kick and scream, I've got to say, nevertheless, I don't want to drink of this cup. This cup might hurt. This cup might cause me pain. I might lose if I drink. But nevertheless, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible lets us know that we cannot afford the luxury of wearing our convictions and our beliefs like a set of Sunday clothes. You know, we only keep it at church. Have you ever noticed that there's this thing among the world that tells you to save it till Sunday? Y'all not hearing what I'm saying, are you? Save it for Sunday. You trying to live right? You trying to do right? Save it for Sunday. You don't want to cuss, you don't want to drink, you don't want to hang out, save it for Sunday. Then listen, if the world ain't going to save sin for Friday, why are you going to save salvation, wait, hold salvation till Sunday? If they going to sin 24-7, you might as well live right 24-7. And don't you know the world don't care about whether you criticize them or not? I don't want to get ugly. I don't want to sound, you know, too far out there. I don't sound like I'm criticizing anybody. But if they decide to go get a tattoo on their forehead, they don't care about you criticizing them. Somebody say amen. They go get a bone put to their nose or a hubcap or hanging on their ear. They don't care about you talking about them. Somebody say amen. You can talk about them all you want to. Walk around with that hubcap around their neck. Amen. That grill with false gold all over the mouth. Smiling, look like a cave. Man, they don't care about, they wear that stuff with pride. But you boys walk around with the britches hanging down because that's the fashion. Can't even walk. I hate to see them trying to run from somebody. And they ain't worried about you talking about them. The more you talk, the more arrogant they become. Why in the world do you get ashamed of your righteousness? How do you get ashamed of your holiness? How do you get ashamed? Oh, come on, somebody. And it's amazing. The world ain't trying to conform to the church in order to influence the church. They stay very worldly to get the church to become worldly. They draw distinctive lines. Hello, somebody. Ain't no hip-hop artist trying to dress like no preacher. He's trying to dress like a hip-hop artist and get you dressed in hip-hop. He gonna keep his style. I was on this other night. People said, it don't matter how you dress. God sees your heart. Do you really believe the world thinks that? The world don't believe that at all. Only people believe that is church people. But let me say, if the world believed that, why they talk about your shoes if you ain't got the glasses on that everybody else is wearing? Why they talk about your fashions if you ain't wearing whatever? If they don't care, how come you mad because your mama didn't buy you no Jordan? If she puts you in some Walmart shoes, I ain't wearing them. People be talking about me in school. If they don't care about how you dress, why? The only people who believe that is this world. Listen, this past October they came out with some outfits in California for Halloween. Are you ready for this? Can I just talk straight? I'm just reading, saying this. I got to be careful because this is going on video and somebody might get it on video and then they get offended by it because church people only get offended when they hear things at church. They don't get offended when they rent it and put it in a video. They only get offended when they hear the church. You know, when they hear the church, they get offended, but then they go out Sunday night and rent it, take it home and watch it for a week. It's Sunday night. I got all night. Come on. Somebody say amen. I ain't gonna take all night. I'm just gonna preach it. But this October they had some clothes that they had out for Halloween, costumes. And the costumes, and y'all don't, anybody got internet? Let me see your hand. You got internet. You got access to the internet. I want you to go home and look at this. Pimpandwholecostumes.com. Did I scare you? Whew. You shouldn't have said that. Your DVD collection got all those words in it. I'm just telling you where it's at. Go look at it for yourself. But they came out with costumes. I'm just telling you what they said, okay? I'm not cussing. I don't want somebody to say, preacher was cussing. I ain't cussing. Because if your CDs ain't cussing, I ain't cussing. If the music you listen to ain't cussing, I ain't cussing. If you're so holy, you can't hear it from me. You don't hear it in your car. But they came out with outfits this Halloween. And they're going to dress little girls and little boys up like pimps and hoes. Those are going to be the Halloween costumes. Now, if it don't matter what you wear, how in the world did the fashion industry decide what a pimp looks like and what a hoe looks like? Did you get this? Now, I didn't say this. This didn't come from the church. This came from the fashion world. So they said, when you go to the shop and you buy this outfit, you pick it up, and you decide you want to wear it. That's too long nowadays. And you decide you want to wear it. They say, once you put it on, you made a conscious decision to look like a hoe.
make it up. They said that. That ain't my website. They say, young man, when you go to the suit rack, you pick up that suit, you go get all that stuff done to your beard. Because they got pictures of what pimps supposed to look like. You go get all your bling. It's hard out there for a pimp. And you go get all your stuff on. You go get all your stuff on. They say you have made a conscious decision to look like a pimp. Now, I didn't say that. The world says that. Are you hearing me? So if the world says that, then the world identifies you by what you got on. So now there's reasons why the church holds certain standards. It ain't an issue of heaven or hell at that point. It's an issue of witness. Can somebody say amen? Because God ain't worried about what I wear, because man look at the outside, sure enough. Because God look at the heart, sure enough. But here's the catch, baby. You are not trying to witness to God. You are not trying to influence God to come to church. You are not trying to let your light shine before God. He said, let your light shine before men, that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hear me now. There is not enough scripture that outlines every little single detail of what you should and should not do. The Bible don't say, I can't do that. Show me in the scripture. I want one Bible scholar here to show me the scripture where it says, thou shalt not smoke crack. Show it to me. Since you got to have Bible for everything, well, the Bible said if you defile the temple, well, fried chicken does that too. Man, I got to hurry up. There are times, as the Bible said, if this gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, who the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is the image, gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Now listen, that word world in that text is God of this age. In Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world. He says, be not conformed to this age. In every dispensation, in every generational change, there's something new that the devil is doing to blur the line between the church and the world. Are you hearing me now? So the church has got to be on alert. Baby, if they come out with a new outfit tomorrow that said this is what a pimp looks like and I wore it last week, I'm not wearing it tomorrow. I don't know why a young man in the church want to call himself holy, be treated like holy, and wants to purposely look like a player. I got three girls, and let me tell you something, gentlemen. If you want to look like a player, don't even think about talking to mine. I will intervene. Because if you want to look like a player, chances are you might become one. Hello. I got to behave, man. I'm not supposed to mess with this. But the world has deceived the church into believing that what we do is only for Sundays. But let me tell you something. I won't get let you know a secret. I went to a barbershop one day, and I met a preacher. It's not a name. I don't call any names or particular denominations, because y'all know I don't do that. I don't get in here and talk about other preachers. That's not my goal. But he was in the chair, and we were conversing, and you know, he had to introduce himself as Pastor so-and-so, and they said, "Oh, man, I know you as a preacher. God bless you, but excuse my language." And that's how they addressed him. So they started respecting him after they found out. Because the way he was dressed, you had to ask. And then when I got ready to get up to the chair, he says, "You know what?" He said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You look like one." I was embarrassed for the brother. I wasn't happy for me. I was just... I was trying to keep from saying too much. I said, "God bless you. Thank you, sir." Let me tell you something. The reason why I've got the standards I've got for my young men, hear me now, is not because they go to heaven or hell for being different. I've got standards. I know I cannot open up this Bible and point at a scripture and say, "You're going to hell if you don't do it this way." I cannot do it. I tell you that up front. But I will tell you this. If you're going to get used in the public ministry in this church, I want there to be a line drawn where when people see you, they know where you come from. They don't have to fear their daughters when they look at you. They don't have to wonder if their sons are going to be led astray. Oh, y'all not talking back to me. They know. They know. They know. I want every young man in this church stand up. Look around you. Look around you. Look at these young men. Now, some of them I'm still working on. I got to get them to the barber shop. But the most of them, they're on the way. Sit down. Now, listen. This ain't got nothing to go with heaven. Ain't got nothing to do with going to heaven. Are you with me now? I'm going somewhere with all this. I'm taking my time. It ain't got nothing to do with going to heaven. It's got nothing to do with going to hell. It has everything to do with being a solid witness. Because that's what the gospel is. He told them that they should earnestly contend for the faith. Because some have crept in and turned grace into lasciviousness. So I require young men to have a nice haircut. They ain't going to hell if they don't get one. I just require it. Brother Haskins ain't got no problem. He got one without even trying. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to ask for edge up. Praise God. And I require them to have a shave. Somebody say shave. Mm-hmm. You say, "Now, why? Why? If the Bible don't require it." Well, there's a lot of things the Bible don't require. But let me give you an example. Turn to Acts chapter 16 right quick. Oh, boy. Acts chapter 16. I need a reader. Can I teach this thing? I'm going to shock y'all here. I hope you have a different attitude about standards after tonight. Somebody say amen. I mean, I don't judge people harshly. I really don't. I just got standards. I'm like, you know, like old military soldiers. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, I like your boots shine. You ain't going to get killed because your boots ain't shine. Just, I like to see them shine, you know. Somebody say amen. Raise the bar. Okay, ready? Ready? Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Do I have a reader?
Then came he.
Then came he
to Derbea and Lystra.
Uh huh.
And there are certain of the disciples was there named Timotheus.
He came to Derbea and Lystra, and what?
There are certain of the disciples was there named Timotheus.
There was a certain disciple there named Timotheus. That's Timothy, right? Read.
The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess.
She was a Jewess.
And believed, but his father was a Greek.
But his father was a Greek.
Which was
hold. Timothy was of a mixed family. And in that day, Jews and Greeks did not mix. Are you with me now? Now, Paul, an apostle, made it clear in the book of Galatians that if anybody comes and tries to mix circumcision with salvation, they were to be accursed. They were preaching a false doctrine, and they were cursed. Are you hearing me? He even said, if we or an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel, let them be accursed. Circumcision had absolutely nothing to do with the salvation experience or the relationship a man would have with God. Are you with me? Paul preached this. Now, Paul was getting ready to go on a missionary journey to the Jews. And he wanted to take his young protege, Timothy, with him. But because the Jews and the Greeks did not mix, listen to this. Read.
Which was well reported of by the brethren.
It was well reported of by the brethren.
They were at Lystra and Iconium.
Uh-huh.
Him would Paul have to go forth with him.
Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Where? To the Jews in Iconium and Lystra. Are you hearing me? And what did Paul do?
And took him, circumcised him because...
Whoa, 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 whoa. He did what?
Circumcised him.
Because what?
Because of the Jews.
He circumcised them because of man? Not because of God, but because of man. Now listen, he asked him to cut off a whole lot more than a wild afro. He asked him to cut off a whole lot more than some ponytails. Come on, somebody, say amen. And guess what? Wasn't no anesthetic back in those days. And he ain't talking about no little baby 3 days old. He talking about a young man who understood what was happening. I mean, he got all in his personal business. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying, are you? This had nothing to do with him going to heaven, but it had everything to do with that when Paul got to the Jews, would he be hindered or helped by Timothy based on that one thing? And baby, if you really love souls, there's some things that you are not going to hold on to just because you like it. Jesus descended from heaven and came down to this earth and died on the cross and was buried in a borrowed grave, sacrificed his life so that we could be saved. And how much more should we be willing to lay down so one soul can make it to heaven? And that's what brings us to a problem. Because the Bible says that some have come unaware and have crept into the church unaware. And in the creeping in unaware, they have turned grace into lasciviousness. It means living any kind of way. The Bible says, for the grace of God that brings salvation, somebody say grace, has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. You see, one of the problems is that when you say something enough times, whether it's biblical or not, people will begin to hear it and accept it. Can you say amen? This word, separation of church and state, separation of church and state, separation of church and state, separation of church. You've heard it for the last 40 years. Now everybody believes it, even though the First Amendment never says it. You won't find it anywhere in the Constitution. But you know what? As long as the devil can keep you ignorant, he can keep you lost. Well, you've heard grace defined as unmerited favor. Have you heard it? Grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Now, the word grace means favor, but it does not mean unmerited favor. Let me blow your mind. There's nothing you get from God that's unmerited, even grace. He said, if you seek me, you shall find me. Being able to find God is based upon the if you seek. When he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, there he was with all the power in his hand. But before he would speak a word to Lazarus in the grave, he required them to first take away the stone. He said, if you would be obedient, then you shall eat of the fat of the land. Everything that God does for you is based on an if. You can't be saved if you don't repent. And repent is not just a feeling. Repent is an action. Repent is you not only change your mind, you change your ways. So we've heard unmerited favor, unmerited favor, unmerited favor, unmerited favor. To the degree we think that grace means a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. And really, let's define sin for a moment. Because most of us think sin has something to do with all the immoral things. You know, fornication, adultery, drugs, alcohol, gambling, murder. And if we're sinning, these are the things we must be doing. So you hear people say things like, I know I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do. But at least I ain't out there doing all that. Like that matters. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Like God gave you some kind of checklist of what sins you can do and be all right with him. See, that's how far this unmerited favor grace talk has gotten us. Because the Bible said for a man to know to do good and doeth it not to him, it is sin. In other words, you might not be doing all these bad, immoral things, but if you're not doing the good you know to do, you're still living in sin. Well, I wish I had a witness here. Somebody say amen. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace is space to grow. The actual Greek definition of the word grace is the influence of God upon the heart and the reflection of that influence in one's life. In other words, God moves upon you to take a certain direction in your life, and it gives you space to grow in that direction. Because as you begin a new walk, just like a new baby, you will make mistakes in the process. You will stumble and fall in the process. You will move sometimes out of the will of God a little bit off course, but grace pulls you back on the right track. But grace gives you space to grow. Can you say amen? Those of you with more than one child, let me see your hand. Because now all of y'all ain't got twins. Some of you got twins, but some of y'all got children that are spaced out a little bit. 2, 3 years, 4 years apart. Now, when my baby, my youngest one, was an infant in diapers, when she soiled her diapers, we would clean her, wash her, you know, we'd pamper her, we'd put a little pad on. Come on, baby, things gonna be all right. You know, here's daddy, mama. You know how you do babies, right? Now, she is about 6 years younger than my oldest. Am I right? 6 years? 6 years difference. So when she was a baby, my oldest one was 6 years old. Now, what do you suppose happened to him if he soiled his pants? Now, while one's being cuddled, while one's being pampered, the other's being pounded. It's not like we loved anyone less than the other. But grace not only cuddles you and pampers you at the right time, it also demands of you at another time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Grace don't give you permission to stay a baby. Oh, come on, somebody say an amen. And some folk come in church one way and they stay that way all the rest of their life, hollering about, how come you just can't accept me like I am? We did. We did accept you like you are. God did bring you in like you were. Can you say amen? But grace didn't say you can stay like you are. Grace said, come on in, we'll change your diaper. Come on in, we'll blow your nose. But baby, after a while, you're going to have to learn how to do something for yourself. Grace creates challenges. Grace makes demands. Grace gives you space to grow. And the Bible said the grace of God, I've got to hurry. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Somebody say grace. Grace, number one, write this down. Grace saves. Grace reaches everywhere, in every way, and reaches everyone. Somebody say grace. For the grace of God that brings salvation, somebody say salvation, has appeared unto all men. In other words, grace knows what you've been through. Grace knows how you have lived. Grace knows what your bad habits are. Grace knows what your deep, dark secrets are. Grace knows what your failures are. But grace is able to reach you and save you from your sin. Grace didn't bring you into the church to let you stay the way you were. You ought to be glad you're in a church that's going to challenge you to live a brand new life. You ought to be glad you're in a church that's going to preach to you this great grace, this great salvation is not the kind of grace that lets you stay back and become a spiritual invalid, but the kind of grace that makes you grow up to become strong and functional and ready to go to war on behalf of the gospel. Can you say amen? Yeah. The grace of God brings salvation, reaches everybody, everywhere. I get kind of tired of listening to some of our cold so-called, y'all got to help me because I get so politically incorrect. I get sick of listening to Reverend this and Reverend that. Reverend this and Reverend that. Jump up on the news screen, making all kind of excuses. Are you hearing me? Stop calling yourself Reverend if you don't believe in the reverence of God. You hear me? Making all these excuses. Reason why young black men selling dope, going to prison, because of 400 years of oppression. Shut up, idiot. How can you have 400 years of oppression and you ain't 40 years old yet? And let me tell you something. Let me break this down. Ain't no such animal. The reason why they can't read is because of 400 years of oppression. Ain't that stupid? Because way back when there was really slavery and it was against the law to read and you could be hung for reading, you could be beaten and lashed for reading. Mamas took the little boys and hid them under the bed under a candle. and said, boy, I don't care what they tell you out in the field. You are not going to be a dummy. God didn't make you to be a dummy. You're going to learn how to read, and you're going to become something one day. You're going to be a free man. Are you hearing what? They preached the message of deliverance to the children despite the oppression. Now you got mamas too busy hanging out in the club, and they turn the children over to a system, and they blame it on the weakness of the system. Oh, no, baby. God did not call you to be ignorant or a failure. God called you. Now, I'm older than most of y'all. There's some in here older than me, but I'm older than most of y'all. And I went to school before desegregation. I went to school before busing. I went to school when they gave us the used equipment. And we got the used books. What they got rid of, we received. I remember getting our school books on the first day, and some of the pages tore out. But back in those days is when we raised scholars in the ghetto. We raised PhDs in the ghetto. Are y'all not talking back to me? We raised diplomats in the ghetto. Now you got busing, you got sophisticated gyms, you got computers in every school, you got manuals and books, and you got a whole bunch of folk standing on the corner. Yo, blood, what's happening to me? As I took, can't even read the name on a contract. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody said the grace of God. The grace of God don't care whether you've been raped or abused. He can make you brand new right now. He don't care whether you've been neglected or oppressed. He can fix your life right now. The grace of God don't care where you've been. He's only concerned about where he's trying to take you. Grace has appeared unto all men. Grace that has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present age. Grace teaches us to say no. I got to close here. But tell your neighbor, it was grace that talked me out of it. Oh, grace didn't give me permission to do it. Grace talked me out of it. Grace didn't give me the go ahead. Grace gave me the red light. Tell your neighbor, grace said, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that I should live righteously and soberly in this present age. No matter what's happening in this age, grace will talk to me and talk me out of it. I could have been somewhere locked up for the rest of my life, but grace talked me out of it. I could have been married to the wrong woman tonight, but grace talked me out of it. I could have been hanging out with a gang, but grace talked me out of it. Oh, y'all not talking back to me now. I could have been somewhere standing on the corner pushing crack, but grace talked me out of it. I could have been out tonight drinking with a few friends on the road drunk, but grace talked me out of it. Say, grace! And the devil would like nothing more than to distort the revelation of grace and getting you to live any kind of way you want to under the banner of grace, getting you to think any kind of way you desire under the banner of grace. But I wrote to you tonight, Juicy, I know the some that have crept into the church and they told you it don't matter. They told you you can do what you want to do. They told you don't let them judge you. Do your own thing, baby. But I heard grace shout out loud, don't go there. Grace shout out loud, don't do that. Tell your neighbor, I'd rather fight than switch. I made up in my mind, I'm going to live holy. And if you come tell me, it don't matter. I've got to leave you alone to come tell me that I can do my own thing. I got to find me some new friends to come tell me I can get away with it. I got to find somebody else to hang out with. Now, you might want to get angry with me, but I'd rather fight than switch. You might not want to hang out with me anymore, but I'd rather fight than switch. Tell your neighbor, I'm willing to be talked about. I'm willing to be rejected. I'm willing to be despised. I'm willing to be ignored. I'm willing to walk alone. I'm willing. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'd rather fight. I'd rather fight. I'd rather fight. I'd rather fight through the crowds of depression. I'd rather fight through the crowds of loneliness. I'd rather fight through the clouds of alienation. I'd rather fight all by myself than to give up this precious gospel. I made up in my mind, if I gotta walk by myself, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. If nobody else goes with me, I'm gonna stand by the cross. Say yeah. I heard an old song. Oh, the old song said, so long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long, 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 long as I got Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, hold on to grace, hold on to grace, hold on to grace, say yeah. Tell your neighbor, get a hold of it. Don't let it go. Tell them, don't let it go. Your friends might try to talk you out of it, but don't let it go. Oh, Lord. Society might try to talk you out of it, but don't let it go. MTV, BET, and every other kind of TV might be trying to talk you out of it, but don't let it go. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, cut it off before it breaks you off of the true vine. Say yeah. Say cut it off. If you got some relationships, you need to let go. Say cut it off. If you got some entertainment, you need to let go. Say cut it off. If you got some fashion choices, you need to let go of. Say cut it off. If you got some friends you're hanging out with, say cut it off. Whatever it takes, I'm willing to cut it off. Oh yeah. Hey, 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 hey. Won't you clap your hands and praise Him? Come on. Come on. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Don't let the creepers steal your grace. Don't let the creepers steal your righteousness. Don't let the creepers steal your holiness. Don't let the creepers steal your revelation. Don't let the creepers steal your vision. Say yeah, Lord. God's trying to take you to another level. God's trying to take you to another level. It's going to take grace to get you there. Because we can't make it on our own human strength. Grace is God's influence upon my heart. There are things that God will call me to do in this kingdom that mere human logic will not be able to come close to addressing. But grace will give me the answer. Because when He said, grace teaches us that living godly and holy and righteously in this present age, grace also gives us the vision to look for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, grace will always remind you that this life won't last always. Jesus is coming back. Come on, somebody say Jesus. Say Jesus is coming back. And grace will make you live in a way that prepares you for that coming back. You see, secular humanism teaches that you ought to live in the here and now. But grace teaches you there's another day. Can you say amen? I'm going to study. I'm going to start a study soon on some prophetic issues from the book of Revelation and the new one world religion that everybody is going to have to fall up under before they receive the mark of the beast. It's already, the spirit of the Antichrist is already even in the church. That one world religion that Christians are so ready to embrace right now is secular humanism. The religion of secular humanism. And the devil has crept in and turned grace toward that religion. See, what's best for the human good? What's best for people? No, no, no. What's best for the kingdom? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, don't worry about your clothes and your food and your shelter. Seek first the kingdom of God. But what is everybody preaching? Take care of those things first. And when you get finished getting your education, when you get finished getting your job, when you get finished working, you know, then you can start getting involved in church. Isn't that what they tell you? That's going to be the religion everybody has. Well, what was I supposed to do? If I didn't do this, they said my baby wasn't going to get no medicine. That's what they're going to say when it's time to get the mark. But by that time, you're going to be so rooted in secular humanism, you'll take the mark to get your baby the medicine. See, I scared some of you, didn't I? That's going to be the religion everybody has. You better right now, you better learn what grace is really calling you to do. And you better be ready to fight for it. Because people will call you a fool for living for God. People will say you're crazy for doing what God calls you to do. Because it only makes sense that you'll take care of these things first. It only makes sense that you do this first. You know, because after all, religion is standing in the way of human progress. But grace says, don't you worry about your physical person. Paul, stop praying for healing. My grace. I didn't make it up. I didn't make that up. Stop begging for what you want. My grace. Stop getting discouraged because things ain't happening for you. My grace. It's sufficient. And that's why Paul says, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what my afflictions are, I rejoice in my affliction. See, if you can learn the value of grace, and don't let the devil steal the revelation of grace. Because grace has very little to do with your physical comforts. Grace has everything to do with your spiritual vision. And the devil creeps in and tells you that in the name of grace, you can sort of compromise because God knows you need your rent paid. So you can compromise because God knows you need to buy some clothes, the kids some clothes for Easter. Don't you let the devil steal the vision of grace. Lift your hands right now and begin praising the name of the Lord. And make up in your mind, I'd rather fight than switch. Some of you are wrestling right now with some issues in your life where you know what God wants you to do and the devil's got you doing some other things.